All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. Because of our business meeting, we'll divert from our study in the book of Philippians and have a separate message this evening, as I said, out of Hebrews chapter number 11.
We'll go ahead and read the first six verses of the chapter. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6. Here we find that God tells us, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Father, we thank you for your word and this great chapter of faith. Father, as we consider just a few thoughts this evening, we ask your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This morning, I just want to bring a simple message that I've titled, "By Faith, By Faith." The church is as no other organization on the entire face of the earth. And as we anticipate a business meeting in about 20 minutes or so, we have to always be careful, and this is one of my greatest fears as a pastor, that we do not operate as a Fortune 500 company. Now, I'm not against wise business decisions and good business practices. There's never anything wrong with that. We ought to do God's work in the right way and do it at least as well as the world does their work. But we add an added dimension as we operate as a church. And that added dimension that the world knows nothing of is faith, is faith. So I want to talk a little bit this evening about faith. And we're just going to limit to these six verses that we've looked at, and I think these verses certainly give us a lot to chew on. The first thing we find in the first two verses when we consider faith is that by faith we gain the approval of God. By faith we gain the approval of God. When it tells us the definition of faith there in chapter or in verse number 1, that it's the substance of the things hoped for and it's the evidence of the things not seen. Now, how do we know there's a heaven? None of us have been there. None of us have seen pictures of it. You can't even go on YouTube and get a picture of heaven, if you can believe that. Now, some of you don't really know what YouTube is, but the younger people here know exactly what YouTube is, and you can find just about anything. It never amazed me when Stephen was at home and he had to fix something that he'd go on YouTube and he'd watch a video of how to fix it. That he learned a lot of his computer skills that way. And one time Abby wanted to change the sink faucet in the bathroom. Actually, she wanted me to change it, and the way it's in there, there's no way I can get under there. My legs are just too long, and I'd break my back. And I just told her, do it yourself. Well, she went on YouTube, and she found a video, how to change a bathroom faucet. And she changed the faucet. Didn't have any leaks. She did better than I ever did on changing a faucet. It usually took me a couple of tries, so she has earned the job. But they've got everything on YouTube, except pictures of heaven. How do we know it's there? As we gaze out into the starry night and we can see stars as far as the eye can see, and as NASA sends out probe after probe and they go out into the vast distances of the universe and never come to the end, how do we know there's a place called heaven but beyond all that? How do we know there's a place where there's a golden avenue that leads right up to the very throne of God, who's the God of all the universe? And how do we know there's that river of pure water that flows down alongside that street. And that those that tree of that's bearing fruit every month, how do we know that's there? We've never seen it. We've never seen pictures. We've never had that fruit imported. You get fruit imported from all over the world anymore today. But we've never had any imported from that tree, ever. So how do we know it's there? Well, the answer just lies in this word we're dealing with tonight, by faith. Because God said it, we believe it, even though we've never seen it. And so that faith then becomes the substance of the things we hope for. Now, certainly we hope for heaven. I hope you hope for heaven tonight. Heaven ought to make us get a little bit excited. It ought to put a smile on our face, because there's coming a day, if you know the Lord as your Savior, when you'll be there. And all these old things will be passed away. And God tells us several times in His Word that we'll not remember them anymore. Now, that doesn't mean that our memories will be wiped clean and it'll be erased. It just means that when we compare what we've got in heaven with what we had here on earth, it says these things won't even matter. They won't even make any difference in our lives. But we believe that because God said it. Now in verse number 2, after defining faith, here we find the point that I'm making. It's only by faith that we gain the approval of God. Verse number 2 tells us the elders by faith obtained a good report. Now the question is, who gave them the good report? Was it talking about the Apostle Paul and his generation? Did they look back at the elders, which would be the patriarchs and all those listed here, and did they give a good report to those patriarchs and the Old Testament saints because they lived by faith? I don't think that's what God is talking about here. I think these elders received their good report from none other than God Himself. That He looked down at their lives and saw the faith by which they lived, and He said, now there's a good one, and there's a good one. And we have good reports throughout the Old Testament in the Word of God of these saints that lived by faith. And so if you or if I want to get the approval of God, if I want to obtain a good report, if you want to obtain a good report, there's only one way to do that, isn't there? And that's if you live by faith. You see, it's only by faith that we gain the approval of God. As we move into verse number 3, it's by faith that we understand our origins. It's only by faith that we understand our origins. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made with things that do appear. Now, it doesn't matter if you believe in evolution or in creation. You have to accept it by faith. And that's what the evolutionist is completely missing. Because some scientist somewhere, or some so-called scientist, let's just call them a pseudo-scientist, because they concocted some theory in their mind that they call evolution, that way back once upon a time, many, many moons ago, in a galaxy far, far away, there was this little teeny dot of matter, all tiny and compressed, and that it just exploded. And as that little tiny dot of matter exploded, it expanded into all the universe that we see today. Now, I have trouble believing that. My faith isn't that large. But then they even go on beyond that and say that life as we know it, human life, animal life, plant life, all life began in this mud puddle on the face of what we know as the earth. And they theorize that it also evolved out of mud puddles on other planets. And so our tax dollars are being spent by the billions to try to explore these other planets to try to find a planet where there's life. Now, if you don't have enough faith to believe that that little tiny dot could explode and we have all the stars in the sky and everything on Earth and all the planets in our solar system, how in the world are you going to believe that our life began in a mud puddle. It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't have that much faith, but I have enough faith to believe that at the beginning of time, God spoke and there was light, and God spoke and there was a firmament, and God spoke and there was dry land, and God spoke and all the vegetation appeared. There was a billboard just the side of Marion as you're coming north on 23. I don't know if it's still there. I think they finally changed it. But it said, the egg came first. Now they had a 50-50 chance. And they blew it. Can you believe that? Because God tells us that He spoke, and there was the chicken. And that chicken then bore the egg. So they had a 50-50 chance, and they blew it. I found that kind of funny. But that's just the way it is with the world. They don't have a clue. Now, I've got enough faith to believe that there's a God in heaven, because all I have to do is look outside. We've seen the leaves change colors and fall to the ground, but we know that even though the trees appear dead right now, that come springtime, those branches will bud out and there'll be leaves and blossoms on some of the trees, and it'll just be beautiful. Now, how does all that happen? Did that all begin in a mud puddle, that same mud puddle that you and I began in? So how did it become a tree and we became a person, and a dog become a dog and a horse a horse, if it all began in that little mud puddle altogether? I don't have that much faith, but I do have enough faith to believe that God spoke and there it all was. Now, this is an important point, because this should govern our lives. If God in heaven can do all of that, what is there that He cannot do? This verse is very specific, because it says that everything we see originated brand new. There was nothing that He took. Now, if we're going to do a building project, and most of you know me well enough to know that I don't do building projects. I do a destruction project fairly well, but not a building project. But if I was going to try to do a building project, I'd go down to Lowe's, I'd buy some lumber, buy some nails, I already have the hammer, and I've got the saw. Well, I'd bring it back to the house, and I start sawing and cutting and hammering. But you see, I had to go down to Lowe's, and I had to get some lumber that used to be a tree, that came from another tree, that came from another tree, that goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, and God spoke, and there was that tree in the ground. You see, I didn't get that piece of wood out of nothing. It came from somewhere. And those nails came out of a mine that were then sent to, I can't think of the word I want, where they make nails out of a nail manufacturer. Let's just say that. And try to call it good, okay? I hate it when my ignorance shows through. But anyway, to me, nails just come from Lowe's. I mean, where else do they come from? They make them in the back room there. But that all comes from somewhere. But what God is saying in this verse is when He created everything we see, it didn't come from anywhere. There wasn't anything there to make it out of. He didn't fabricate anything. He just simply came up with the idea and spoke, and there it was. If God can do that, what is there to limit Him from doing anything in our lives? All right, faith is necessary for the approval of God. Faith gives us understanding as to our origins. Thirdly, in verse number 4, we're introduced to Abel. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now, I'm going to assume that you are fairly familiar with what took place with Cain and Abel, and Cain's offering of the work of his hands, and Abel bringing the lamb to sacrifice. The blood offering versus the works offering. I believe they learned it from their parents, Adam and Eve, that it had been passed down. But Abel brought that good sacrifice that God accepted of an innocent animal shedding its blood to bring him redemption. Now, why did he do that? I'm sure Cain was sincere and he worked hard and he brought the best that he had to God and thought God would be satisfied. Don't you want to give God your best? Sure you do. We all do. And that's what Cain was doing. He was bringing God his very best. He worked his hardest, and he thought God would smile on him because of his brand new idea of how he could honor God. And God said, I'm not pleased. He said to Cain, you just go talk to your brother. He's got it right. And if you just do as your brother did, you'll be fine. Well, we know he didn't do that. But the fact of the matter is, Abel brought the right sacrifice, the blood sacrifice, the dying of the innocent for the guilty. And God smiled upon it. And Abel did that by faith. It doesn't make sense that killing that lamb and spilling its blood out at the altar could bring us redemption in the eyes of God. It just defies human logic. Cain was operating on human logic. That makes sense. That if we're wrong with God, what we've got to do is work hard in order to right ourselves with God. That makes human sense. But Abel was operating by faith. And by his faith, he obtained redemption. He obtained redemption. And so it's by faith that we obtain redemption. Now, as we're redeemed, we're a child of God. And as we consider the previous point, we understand that God can do everything. If he can speak the worlds into existence where there was nothing, what is there he can't do? And since we're his redeemed child, why won't he do it? Why won't he do it? If he loves us as much as he says he loves us, what is there to hold him back? All right, well, let's look at verse 5. We're confronted with Enoch. What a wonderful story. I wish God had written more in his word about Enoch. I'd love to study him and see what he had going for him. But God just gives us this little snapshot. It's all we have. And yet, it being all we have, it speaks volumes. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Do you understand what God is telling us here? Now, the story goes that Enoch was walking with God one day, and God looked down at Enoch and said, well, we're closer to my home than your home, so why don't you just come home with me tonight? And of course, in heaven there is no night. And so Enoch is still with God in heaven because it's never become night for him to go home. But what's going on here? Abel got out of dying. Let that sink in for a little bit. Think about that. Abel got out of dying. Did he ask God, hey God, you know, this is really cool being alive. Can I get out of dying? I don't feel like dying, God. You know, it just doesn't sound like the way to go. Now, there hadn't been a lot of death up to that point. They were living nearly 1,000 years back then. Can you imagine that? What was going through Enoch's mind? But because he had faith in a redeeming God who could do anything, God said, all right, I'll show you what I can do. Abel, you just come on up here. Just come on up here. Faith is a powerful thing. But as we read verse 6, we go back to where we began. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, we can gain God's approval. And all we do, it doesn't mean we vote yes to everything in a business meeting. It doesn't mean we jump out of an airplane without a parachute and say, God will protect me. We still use some common sense, but added to that common sense is belief in a God who can speak these worlds into existence, who loves us because we're His blood-bought children, and sometimes He just likes to show us what He can do. In the current issue of the Sword of the Lord newspaper, there's a little article in there. It's on church planting. He writes every edition of the newspaper. His last name is Townsley. I believe his first name is Mike, but I'm not sure on that. But in this edition or this issue, he makes reference to the church he had planted there. He's, I believe, in the Boston area. I know it's New England somewhere. They've got New England Baptist College, a good college. In fact, the fellow that helped him start it up, and I don't remember his name, he came to church here one time, and apparently he went to church here back in the 60s. But Pastor Townsley makes a comment there in the article this time. He says, we've been through 5 building programs. He says, in every one of those building programs, we didn't have what we needed for that building program to proceed. He says, but we prayed and believe this was what God would have us to do. He said it wasn't always easy, but we've been through 5 building programs. In other words, God provided because they operated by faith. The only thing that limits what God will do is our lack of faith. By faith. How much faith do you have tonight? I hope it's as much as what we read about here in Hebrews chapter number 11, because if you want to see these results in your life, that's what it takes. And sometimes it's like walking on thin ice. You don't know if you're going to plunge through or if you're going to make it across. But if it's where God wants you to walk, you can trust that that ice will hold. And so live by faith. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the many things we can learn from it. Father, help each of us to live our lives by faith. We're not as the world. We're to live differently. And this is what makes it different, that we live believing a God who loves us, can do all things in our lives. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.